Carolina Outdoor Show is brought to you by The Outdoor Guys from Jesse Brown's.
Welcome, everybody, to the Carolina Outdoors. The Outdoor Guys are in session, and we got our producer booking up some stuff here, DC Lou Casey, and you know what it ended up being?
I have no idea what.
The Nature Boy.
Oh.
We thought that was an outdoor, outdoor correlation.
Well, I guess in theory one could make that leap, but he was all indoors all the time, with the exception of, we're talking about Ric Flair, and we've got an incredible story, an incredible guest on the show today, and we'll get to that in a minute. But that, you may not know that Ric Flair was and still holds the title, not the world champ title, but the largest crowd ever gathered for a wrestling event. 190,000 people watched him in North Korea wrestle a guy over there. I can't remember the other fellow's name, but 190,000 people. That blows the WWE, NWA stuff, all that, blows that out of the water for a live event.
That
amazing.
Is unbelievable. Yeah. Well, for our listeners, as we booked up something called The Nature Boy, Rory Karp, a movie maker, documentarian, is going to join us. He just broke some records or had a highest rated cable program for 18 to 49 on November 7th. It was Nature Boy, the 30 for 30 on Ric Flair. The Ric Flair phenomenon took place right here in our hometown. Of course, the Nature Boy began up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which is where his wrestling career got started. But soon thereafter, he moved to Charlotte. And many older school Charlatans will remember seeing Ric around town. And he now lives in Atlanta. So we kind of grew up with that on television. But also, it was close to home because Ric lived in this area and was in our town. And I was fortunate enough to grow up watching him on television, but also had the opportunity to go to Greenville, South Carolina. This is the Carolina Outdoors, Greenville Memorial Coliseum, to watch Ric and the rest of the card wrestle. Fantastic. I was up in the nosebleed sections of the Greenville Memorial Coliseum, but this is the one that stands out to me. I was one of 7,000 people turned away at the old Charlotte Coliseum, now known as Bojangles Coliseum. I was one of, listen to this, 7,000 people turned away in 1986 as the National Wrestling Alliance and Ric Flair and the Rock and Roll Express and all of those people that were in the heyday of professional wrestling were over there. And D.C. Lou Casey, you could not get a ticket into that venue unless you already had a ticket into that venue.
Oh, yeah. It was an incredible thing. And it's something that probably cannot or will not be replicated.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Part of it is because it was not contrived. And that is ironic.
Scripted, but not contrived.
Yeah, well, for instance, here in this territory of wrestling, these guys traveled. They traveled via bus, via car, via van. If you were Ric Flair, maybe you were jet plane flying, but you still traveled. Whereas, and that's probably part of Ric Flair's success and popularity was his grassroots appeal. And he put in 40-plus years to earn all of that. But the WWF, of course, was coming on strong up in Stamford, Connecticut, and New England as they were consolidating what they called territories as far as wrestling promoters go. Vince McMahon took his father's wrestling promotion and was expanding and hiring in all of the new talent. But Ric Flair stayed. He stayed in the Carolinas as part of the Crockett Promotions and the NWA and traveling kind of the old-fashioned way.
Well, and he had already built a following up around here. And like you said, you could not go around. It was not that he was just in the ring or just on TV. He was out in public. You would see him you could not go to the Palm without seeing Ric Flair. You could not go to any big production or big event or big place to be seen and not see Ric Flair. And that was part of not only his in-the-ring persona, but he carried that outside of the ring. And as you said, you know, people would see him. They would say, hey, champ, all right. Or, oh, my gosh, that's Ric Flair. But he wanted to be approached. He wanted that spotlight, not just, you know, in the squared circle there, but in life. He wanted that attention. And I think that's one of the things that that made him perhaps decide that, hey, you know, I'm a big fish in a small pond here. Why the heck not stay right here where I got it? Not good. I got it great. I got it great here. And at that time, it would have been, I guess, tantamount to when Jeff Gordon came on to the NASCAR scene. NASCAR was on the way up. It was on a, you know, rocket trajectory. Wrestling was taking off. What with cable saturation, the beginning days of, you know, satellite TV almost. I mean, people all over the place were now getting exposed to the sport and the personalities and could adopt which side. Were they going to be, you know, loving the bad guys, or were they going to be loathing the bad guys and loving the good guys? Which side were you on? It was an incredibly cool and polarizing thing that, again, I don't think is going to be able to be replicated. And a fascinating bit on the 30 for 30, and I'm really excited about talking to the producer of that program.
Yes, Director Rory Karp. Yeah. He's going to join us later on. Yeah. Hey, real quick, because everybody has this one, DC Lucchese over there, Bill Barty over here. What is your submission hold?
My submission hold, as they say, endurance is a weapon. I would probably get you low and then run like hell.
I'm going to show you how to do the figure four leg lock right after this segment here on the Carolina Outdoors.
I'll take you out at the knees and I'll just get the heck out
of here. I had three younger brothers and they were all locked in the middle of the ring in the figure four leg lock, made famous by Ric Flair.
So I was more of a hockey guy. I would grab the back of the jersey or grab the back of the sweater, pull it over your head, bring you down like that, knees to the back, gone.
And then run like hell.
Exactly, run like hell.
Well, speaking of run like hell, we're not just talking about Nature Boy on this this edition of the Carolina Outdoors. We're going to invite Tom Perry on to the program. He's a charlatan that Runner's World is calling one of the only, maybe the only person in the world to do 2,000-plus career races completed, 100,000 lifetime miles of running, sub-450 State Marathon Club finisher member, and 100 marathons completed club member. Woo! He's going to join us to talk about how fast you need to run to get away from the guy you just cut off at the knees.
Yeah, there's that. There is that. Yeah, Tom's great guy. He actually paced or completed marathon number 250 here at Charlotte a couple of weeks ago. So very excited to talk to him as well.
And then he got on a plane and went and ran
Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Incredible.
I get cramped up just walking the dog and getting on a plane and then getting off the plane. He ran a marathon, got on a plane, 5 hours later, got off the plane, ate some food, and ran in a marathon.
Pretty much.
Wow. All of that is what we're going to do here on the Carolina Outdoors. He's DC Lucchese. Over across the board's TJ Boggs, and I'm Bill Barty. Stay tuned for more after these messages.